97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. It's time for your Cougar preview show. We talk nothing but BYU football for the next couple hours, getting you ready for a game against Troy. All right, so BYU lost their game against Army. So far, according to Kalani Sitake and others, that it's full speed ahead for the game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
I imagine there'll probably be some more midweek testing, but as of right now, seems like it's a go.
Yeah, I've got a couple of details on that. BYU has a pretty regular testing schedule that they stick to, Scotty. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday testing. And they get those results back pretty quickly. And, you know, they're trying to trace and track and keep count. But they've got a big day today. Testing day today. You'll get results back. You hope that those results come back clean. Testing from Monday, I haven't heard anything. It must have been good enough to keep the game scheduled and moving forward. I don't know if we're going to see every BYU player out on the field against Troy. I don't know that for a fact yet. There might be a guy or two that may have to be quarantined, may have to miss. There may be three or four, but I know as things stand right now, BYU is practicing as if they're going to play Saturday. They've had full padded practices this week after going to cohorts of 15. I told you yesterday?
Yeah.
They, you know, obviously they had reduced and limits in practice and those kinds of things, but this week it's all opened up, and I think they feel pretty confident and ready to play a game on Saturday. But again, your testing results from today's testing will come in, and you'll have to make the decisions then, and then you'll have pregame testing that'll come in from Friday, and you hope guys are making the right decisions, and you'll have enough clean tests, enough bodies that you can play this game.
Yeah, that's what it's all really going to boil down to make sure that you are doing the right thing. If we're still planning towards a game, that means we got past our Monday testing then. So, you know, the fact that they had a full slate of testing on Monday and we're still full speed ahead leads you to believe that the Monday testing went well enough to be able to play the game. So that's a good sign. You just got to get through the rest of the week.
Yeah. No explosions from today's testing and no explosions from Friday's testing.
Yeah.
And then you can play that game. Now you're going to be playing it without fans, and that is a bummer. And I think that's a conversation we can get to maybe in the second hour. But, Scotty, I actually kind of have a funny story about this because I decided, okay, well, I'm going to go do some Troy film review.
What do we know about Troy?
What do we know about Troy? And I was kind of walking you through this. I have kind of a set way of going through my film review for every game, whether it's an opponent or it's BYU or Utah or Utah State or whoever. I know the team that I'm looking at, and I don't typically pay attention to the team that I'm watching them against. I just am looking at the team I'm looking at. And I look at certain things first. I typically go to O-line first, and my eyes draw me to certain parts of that. I do defensive backs, and I kind of go through this progression. So I start in on this Troy game, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this team's garbage that they're playing. This is bad. And then I'm watching Troy in the run games. You know, they put up 500 yards of offense in week one against their opponent. And I'm like, oh, man, these gaps are opening. And then I start to see some of the defensive fronts from the opposing team, and I'm like, what is this garbage? You're running heavy overload, and Troy's just checking out of it and running away from overload, and it's just garbage. And it took me a good 25, 30 minutes to realize that I was watching Middle Tennessee State again.
Again.
That I had broke down from the Army game, getting ready for the BYU-Army game. What did we find out? Was it last Wednesday?
Yeah.
That the Army game was going to be canceled?
I want to say earlier in the week. I want to say Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, what is it? Would it came down
yeah.
that early?
Yeah.
But I had already broke down that film getting ready for that Army game, and Army had played Middle Tennessee and beat them like 45 to nothing. And Troy beat Middle Tennessee 47-14. I know you're asking me to take it a little easier on Middle Tennessee State.
No,
I can't. It's abysmal. It is terrible football. It is bad schemes. It is bad calls. It is bad technique coaching. And I put together two films. You can go out at 975 Hants. I tweeted both out to kind of give BYU fans an idea of what Troy looks like. But I can't get past the fact that Troy was playing the worst team in the country right now. Middle Tennessee might be the worst team I've covered. I've had to watch any film of. I'm embarrassed for them. It's that bad. And I'm sad for them because they're actually allowing fans to their games.
People are watching that live. They're paying tickets. They're buying tickets.
They're paying for that.
They're paying for that.
They should be paid to be there. It's that bad. But I had to really get away from the fact that Middle Tennessee is that bad and try to understand Troy. And, you know, Troy on the flip side, Scotty, is really well coached. I mean, they've got a really sound scheme. It's all base front schemes. They'll do some spread. They'll do some twins. They don't connect a lot of tight end. They do some motion. They do a lot of three-step. But the quarterback, Gunnar Watson, he's good. He's really good. If BYU's corners aren't on the game, he's going to dial up some throws and he'll convert on some third and eights. Their offensive front's just solid enough to get them. You know, they'll probably go for 180 yards on the ground against BYU. They put up 240 yards on the ground against Middle Tennessee. They put up 250 yards through the air. They ended up with 500 total yards offense against Middle Tennessee. And they did it. It's fairly balanced. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you use this portion to set up this portion or use this portion to set up that portion. I just feel like Troy comes out and they're kind of a balanced concept football team.
So a team that can create some problems for you.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got, you know, they got a really solid offensive front. They run extremely sound blocking schemes. But the problem is Middle Tennessee, I don't know why, but they try using this 6'3", 220-pound guy in the middle to try to disrupt. And all Troy was doing was picking that guy up and walking him back 5 yards and getting 5 yards per carry. So I don't take away a lot from what I watched in this film, but I will tell you that when you watch just the basics of Troy, you know that they're well coached. And yeah, this is a team that could cause you a little bit of problem if you're not smart the way you address the field.
As you mentioned, they beat Middle Tennessee State 47-14. Last year they were a team that went 5-7. But they also scored a lot of points last year. It was their defense that was their biggest problem last year. But because they scored in bunches last year at a pretty high clip, averaging nearly 34 points a game. Mm. They just gave up 35 points a game.
Their offense is sound, Scotty. It really is. It's good. And this quarterback, he's going to complete some passes on you. Now, as far as Troy's defense, Middle Tennessee State could not stop throwing the ball to Troy's defense. I watched, you know, personally, while I was sitting down and just watching it myself, I saw three picks. One was a pick six. I don't know what they ended up with in that game, if you got that box score, if it was just three picks. But I watched three picks that were thrown. And, you know.
It's like, three.
Was it three? And I think that the pick six was called back maybe on a you know, because I'm watching the game, I'm trying to watch through plays, but I think that the pick six was called back on a blocking issue or something. And, you know, when I was watching it, their corners are all, they're all well coached. They will flip-flop different coverages on you. In that film that I broke down, if you want to go watch it at 975 Ants, you want a little bit more visual detail on what Troy looks like, they're going to try to split coverages on you. They like to run press man to the field. They like to run different zone looks to the boundary based off of third and fourth downs and the distances. They'll flip-flop those coverages. I haven't seen them run press across the board. At least I didn't see them run press across the board against Middle Tennessee. That doesn't mean they can't or won't. But this is a team that BYU better be focused in on and better be ready for.
But it is a team that I think that if BYU is focused and they're ready to go, it still is a game BYU should win.
Absolutely.
And probably win fairly easily, but don't think that that's a walk in and just put it on the board W.
Absolutely. I've already got some of my predictions on this, and I am predicting a very sizable BYU win. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to make the point that a well-coached team that shows up against BYU in the past has had decent success.
Correct.
It didn't matter what the name value or their record indicated.
Toledo should have been a win. BYU yeah. wasn't ready for it, and they lost.
Exactly. And if BYU comes out and they're trying to recreate the will with their defense and drop eight and they're not finding the pressure, I do think that this quarterback is just good enough and this running attack is just good enough that they'll make you pay for it. So base out that defense and don't try to be overly creative with it. Again, you know, where they ran 250 yards on top of Middle Tennessee, we know that BYU's defense is geared to stop the run. BYU's defense should be able to hold this Troy team under 150. They should be able to hold them maybe even under 120. Troy really should know that coming into the game after watching what that defense did to the Navy run game. And they've got to consider and say, all right, we're not going to move this defensive line like we did Middle Tennessee's. So, Scotty, my guess is Troy's going to come out and they're going to try to spread it out a little bit. And they're going to see if this quarterback can fling it a little bit. So BYU is going to be forced into a touch of a pass rush. So now this week in practice, what BYU needs to be doing, working with El Bakri, who is one of the Hanson Scotty Show favorites. He's a stud, isn't he?
The best.
It was a fun conversation with him. What you're working with El Bakri, or you're working with Kairos Tonga or Faltea or some of these other guys. As soon as you recognize pass, I now have to get into my pass rush. I know that we are a base run stop defense. That's what we're built to do. That's what you were recruited to do. And that's what we do well. But guys, once you recognize pass, I need you to get into that pass rush move. A push jerk. I need you on a pull rip. I need you to hit some type of pass rush move now. And they really have to be efficient at that because Troy will give up pressure if you hit it now. I like a lot of things of this quarterback, but there were probably three or four pass plays where I counted past a three count in the pocket. Mm-hmm. One in particular, he was strip sacked, and it was a three-man rush. No, it was a four-man rush by Middle Tennessee State, I think. Might have been a three-man rush. And it was a three-man rush, and he just held it for a four count. Stepped up in the pocket, got all the way to a four count, was still holding it. Guy came on the backside and strip sacked him. All that is it's run recognition into pass recognition and throwing that move in and getting to the quarterback. So BYU's got to do that well. And I think that they'll have success there. I don't think that the talent on Troy's offensive side is going to abuse BYU's defensive backfield.
You don't see an overly athletic team.
No. No, I think BYU's defensive backfield with Troy Warner kind of leading it is going to be just fine against this team. It should. And I think you can run some really aggressive pass coverages. I don't these wide receivers aren't overly physical on hand fights. Now, again, I have one game of film that I'm going off of. This is only one game. That doesn't mean a guy can't show up and become Superman in a day. We've seen it against these BYU teams over the last few years, where a team that's well coached and has some good talent just shows up and all of a sudden things are clicking and working. Yeah. And it makes no sense.
Well, even the Liberty game last year was a game that BYU should win and win easily, but it still came down to a little bit of drama there in the fourth quarter. And it shouldn't have. And I could see that same kind of game coming up. It's a game you should probably win by, 14, 17 points. Bare minimum.
Yep.
But if you let a team hang in there, they've got enough talent. I mean, Liberty had a NFL wide receiver and a decent quarterback. And so they let them hang in there and then you know, BYU had to deal with a little bit of drama in the fourth quarter in that game. I think, was it a 4th and 18? And had they converted it, they would have kept that drive alive, and the guy dropped a fourth down pass.
Yep. Yep, exactly. You said 17 or 18? I've got it on a 19-point win. That's where my prediction is. I'll give you the exact numbers coming up at the back end of the show, but I think you're spot on, Scotty. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
It should be a 19-point win. But you start letting Troy think that they can settle in. You know, Troy's found their rhythm. And they really did have some striking rhythm against Middle Tennessee. But having watched as much film as I've watched in my life and being around as many coaches during film sessions as I've been, I know that the entire staff at BYU has to basically wad up and throw away this film. To a certain extent, they're using it to show formations, and they're using it to – but if anybody's looking at this film and like, oh, man, look at what Troy just did, or, you know, look at how they're just abusing – you can't. If you get overconfident like that and thinking you're going to move you're going to move an offensive lineman like that, or you're going to move out their D-tackle like that, you can't do that.
Yeah.
This film is very misleading, the Troy Middle Tennessee State film. Mm. They just dominated them horribly.
Hans and Scotty, we're just getting started. Cougar Preview Show. We're going to chat with Will Snowden coming up here in a bit, get his thoughts on this game. And Will's always a pessimist. You know, Will always thinks that the other team is maybe a little bit better than they are.
Yeah.
Am I off base in saying that?
No, I think, because you got to remember, Will is he is a recruiting insider. And so he knows talent, and he knows that even Middle Tennessee State has talent. Now, it might be poorly coached talent, but every university has big-time talent. And Will knows that. So he's always hesitant to to be overly optimistic for a potential outcome because he knows anybody could show up.
We'll chat with Will. Always fun to catch up with him, see where his thoughts are on this game. We're live at Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street. You want an Infinity. You've always dreamed of driving one of these beautiful rides. Well, now is the time to take advantage of it. 0% financing on a lot of these vehicles. You also can get incredible discounts on leases. Whatever you need to do to get one of these Infinities, they're going to help make it happen for you. Check it out down here, 4594 South State Street. You're on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Question of the day. The Raiders are 6 hours away. You find yourself rooting for them now?
I'm not wired necessarily to root and get up or down based on wins and losses, but there are teams that I follow far more closely than other teams, and the Raiders are now going to be in that category. I don't give a flying you-know-what about the Broncos because they don't give a flying you-know-what about us. The Raiders are going to claim us, and I'm going to claim them back. Every single last one of us listening right now are going to find ourselves in that stadium watching a game. That is prophecy. We're a community of prophecy, and that's my prophecy.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So BYU originally was going to allow 5,700 fans into this game, and some people out there got their tickets and were excited to see BYU football. And you know what? 5,700 fans, if you're one of those, that's you get to kick your legs out a little bit, got a little space to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad way to watch a game.
Be really nice.
However, yesterday the governor put Orem and Provo back into orange, which means, and he did provide a provision, which technically in orange, BYU wouldn't be allowed to play the game at all.
Yeah, high school sports would have been shut down.
High school sports would have been shut down as well. However, they did allow an exception for team sports to be played without spectators there. So BYU now gets to play this game without those 5,700 fans, and they extended it into Louisiana Tech game as well.
Yeah. You know, I want people out there to understand that I can definitely feel your impatience, and I can feel your disappointment, and I understand it. I totally get it. I've got a lot of buddies that wanted to go to that game. Scotty, I talked to you about the buddy that's a 20-year season ticket holder, and he had the option to buy a couple tickets, and he did purchase them, $60 a piece. And he and his friend were extremely excited to go. It was a family member that was coming from out of state.
Oh, wow.
To go to that Troy game. So he'd already bought his flight. Now he's still coming in, but they've got the option to roll that ticket over to the next home game that's actually played with fans. That won't obviously be Louisiana Tech, and we'll see if things clear up enough that they can open up the stands and allow fans. But they have reached out to him, and they'll either reimburse those tickets or he can keep those tickets. And instead of having to worry about positioning and maybe not being able to get tickets, he'll be able to keep those tickets and absolutely have them for the next game that allows fans. So I would imagine that that's protocol across the board for any BYU fan that did get their hands on tickets.
Or they get that cut out of Cosmo.
Or they, you know, you can get your reimbursement and buy the the fan pack. That's not what I would suggest. But the fan pack was nice. It came with a box of Crunch and Munch. I love Munch. Do you like that stuff, that caramel corn with the peanuts in it?
No.
Oh, man, that's a classic treat for me.
No, give me
it's delicious.
Nah, I'd swap that thing out. Because usually it depends. Like, if it's a real good fresh batch, maybe. But
is it Munch and Crunch?
I think it's Crunch and Munch.
Crunch and Munch.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because you bite in with the crunch, and then you continue to chew with the
munch.
Yeah. I think that's the order. That sounds about right.
Well, that would be crunch and mush.
Once the saliva kicks in, it
get it
really
into a mush.
Softens it up.
They have one with cashews.
Yeah, I hard pass on that. Did you like, I don't know, it's just, if you get a fresh batch maybe, but when it's dry, it feels like you're chewing into those like packing peanut things.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah, hard pass.
It'll suck up the saliva in your mouth, but I like it.
It's science.
Well, that's the stuff that'll rip. You think Cap'n Crunch rips up your mouth? Crunch and Munch, man, that does its damage on its way down.
Cap'n Crunch is like eating fiberglass with milk on it.
I could eat. I would have 20 like bowls of Cap'n Crunch before any Crunch and Munch.
It's crazy to me.
I think fiberglass is actually part of the ingredients.
You stop it.
It is. It's the same ingredient they put in tobacco. Cuts open the mouth to let the sugars in.
Let the sugars just get right into the bloodstream.
So here's the deal. Don't get your refund and go spend it on the fan pack. Just keep your tickets. Eventually you're going to get back to that stadium and you're going to be able to go have some fun.
You go get your cougar tail before too long.
Yeah. So Johnny Linehan, the former punter, is it Linehan?
I think it's Linehan.
Linehan?
Yeah.
He came back at me on Twitter and he said, because I put out the math on the, 6,000 fans, $100 a ticket.
Yeah.
Essentially, simple math, right around $1.2 million. He said, does that include Cougar Tail sales? And it does not.
How much do they sell Cougar Tail in there for? Is it $5?
$6.50 maybe? At 975 Hance or at Scotty G Zone, what's what was the last amount you spent on a Cougar Tail?
I'm really curious about that. Because I got to imagine that's going to cut in the old revenue for BYU.
So have you seen the Cougar Tail, right?
I've seen it. I've never partaken of one.
Okay.
I've only been to a BYU game as an adult to cover a game. I've never gone down as a paying customer.
I want to say that it's about a foot and a half or close to.
Is it like a glazed donut?
Yeah, it's a maple bar.
Okay.
It's right. Like a foot and a half maple bar, fresh made, delicious. $6.50, I'm not going to pay it. I'd pay $2.50.
Foot and a half, though, that's a
Oh, it's a
big old maple
it's a
bar.
Lot of maple bar. And you could share it with all of your
friends. I got
what
the amount is for a cougar tail.
But why would you?
All right, Lloyd, where are we at with
that? $6.
Ooh, you were about right.
Man, I was really close.
Yeah, I thought $5. You went $6.50. Although Price is Right rules, you did go over.
But still, that's hefty. You know, that's a pretty hefty price to pay for a cougar tail. But let's say you miss out on those sales. It's a lot of money that BYU's missing out on the next couple of games. And it's a missed opportunity for fans. And it's just.
Well, that's who I feel bad for is a fan who has been dying to take. Because those are really where memories are made. I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember one of my, as a youth going to a college football game. And that was, my dad could take me fishing or camping or, I mean, there was a lot of fun things we did growing up. But going to a football game, a college football game, and you walk through the tunnel and you're 8, 9 years old and you see that whole field just open up in front of you and a massive stadium. And that's where you fall in love with the sport.
Yeah.
And not to be, for people not to be able to share that with their kids and enjoy that experience, that's who I feel bad for throughout all of this.
Yeah, I do too. I'm really sick of the Utah County attack. And I thought that DJ and PK had a little bit of fun with it. And I think that they did it the way they should do it. Just. It's having fun, and PK's like, how do you label an entire area or two cities, or how do you label a county? And that's when DJ dropped the line. Well, you just type it in and press send. That's all you got to do, and you can actually label it that. But I think that the criticism is absolutely overboard and ridiculous.
Well, the virus is going to get – I mean, the virus is going to get everybody before – not everybody, but I'm just saying – It hits in hot spots and then comes back down and it finds another hot spot and hits.
Yeah, moves
pretty soon. Salt Lake County, I'm sure we'll see its numbers go up, and Davis County, I'm sure we'll do the same. Cache Valley, remember a couple months ago they had a real nasty hot spot up there, and so for somebody to get on their high horse and point down at Utah County and say, "Look at all of you," look, we all need to be better.
Yeah.
Not just Utah County, Salt Lake County. All of us need to be better. All of us need to be better at wearing our masks and socially distancing. I can't say, hey, Utah County, be better when I, went to a movie and maybe didn't have my mask on the whole time while I was chomping down on popcorn.
Yeah,
exactly. I need to be better.
It's like these politicians that keep telling us to wear their masks and then they're showing up in public places without their masks on.
Yeah.
If you're going to point fingers and you're going to be that stern and call people names, you better be perfect on it, man. You better be absolutely perfect. And I'm really getting sick of the criticism. There are great people in Utah County, and there are people that care about their families, and there are people that really care about their health. And I keep hearing, Utah County this and Utah County that. Stop it. You're ridiculous. Maybe you ought to look at yourself. Are you perfect?
That's it. Worry about you. You do your job.
Some good people in Utah County, and I truly am genuinely sad that the fans that wanted to go to that game don't get a chance to.
Yeah.
And I get it. This state's packed with Utah State fans and Utah fans that are going to attack that and laugh at it. And they enjoyed seeing the Army game get canceled. And they like seeing BYU wallow and struggle and fight just to get a game against Troy. And then they can attack Troy and say it's a garbage team. I didn't necessarily like getting on and doing film review of Troy. But in my mind, I'm thinking, what? BYU fans deserve a breakdown of this.
Yeah.
That's what I'm paid to do, is give them a breakdown, help them understand what this game is about. So I went into film review. I did 2.5 hours this morning of it to try to help you understand what's going to happen in this game, because I think it's important to them. I can understand why Utah fans are laughing, and I understand why they don't want it to happen. They'd love to see 10 positive tests come out of Wednesday's testing. They'd love it. So they can mock Utah County more, point at Utah County people. So that other radio hosts can point at Utah County people, make fun of them, belittle them, call them stupid. I think it's ignorant. I think they're good people. That's my neck of the woods. That's my area. Plus, what do you got? A total of, 70,000 students between UVU and BYU that showed up?
That's the thing. And, a good high majority of them are from out of state, too.
Yeah. You're bringing it from all over the place. And that is a huge hub of students that are allowed to campuses. So I try to be patient. I try to understand what's going on, and I do feel sad for the BYU fans that don't get to go to this game. And I feel bad for BYU, missing out over the next 2 weeks on whether it's $1 million or it's $800,000 a gate, I don't know the specifics of the number, but they were set to make some money on it.
Oh, yeah. Significant amount.
Yep.
Considering the amount of financial pain that this is causing everybody, that's, you know, frankly, one of those home games probably pays for all of your testing that you, you know, that you've been going through.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We went through the testing numbers, and it jumps really quick.
Yeah,
where BYU's testing three times a week.
And it's not just football. It's coaches. It's administrators. It's, I got to imagine, your other fall sports.
Yeah. Testing would become extremely expensive. Not that BYU doesn't have the money.
But to be able to have a little bit more money to pay for that stuff certainly helps. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street. These Infinities, I was just checking out the QX80, beautiful ride. And I'm telling you, you can get that sucker for a great lease. You can get 0% financing on some of these vehicles. As we mentioned, the lease options are great. Used inventory, price to move as well. And it comes with that warranty that essentially lasts forever. For as long as you own that vehicle, for as many miles as you want to put on that vehicle, something happens to it, it's covered. So transmission goes out in 10 years, covered. Engine goes after, 100,000 miles, it's covered. The Tim Daly family has been around forever. They will continue to be around forever. So you know when you have that warranty, it might actually be forever. And by the way, that whole warranty costs you nothing. $0, but you got to come down and check it out. 4594 South State Street. It's Tim Daly Infinity right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Football Fridays, Coach Mac, Alema Harrington. We're here at the warehouse. Tom Alema said he was a little bit jealous.
Well, just a little.
Have an Alema deal.
Alema special.
Okay.
I've got about 10 love seats.
Ha ha! Hey, what do you think, Coach?
That's just what you need is a love seat.
Alema does need a love seat.
There's nothing wrong with cuddling on a love seat.
Okay, well, I
cuddle with my wife and watch a movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. My wife is practicing social distance.
She's been doing that for 25 years, right?
I was waiting for Gordon to pop in on that one.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's your Cougar preview show, getting you ready for BYU and Mighty Troy rolling into town.
Don't do that. When Will comes on, don't do that, because Will gets bugged about that.
Oh, I'm gonna. No doubt.
Don't get us started on the wrong foot again.
Hey, you think BYU's had it rough? Because they haven't been able to, they had to miss a week. How about the Houston Cougars, who have now had, I believe, three consecutive weeks of games that they were anticipating playing where games have been postponed? They have not played a game yet.
Houston's had three games postponed.
Their first three games that they've tried to play have all been postponed.
Is that the fault of their own, or is that?
No. Well, that's a good question. I don't know. This North Texas one that was supposed to be played on the 26th, that has been postponed, that is because of North Texas. I don't know about the others.
Okay. Well, we're seeing quite a few of them canceled and postponed. There's no question about it. You know, I'm going to continue to give them props and credit for trying. At least they're putting the money into protecting those athletes and keeping them tested. You know, you could send them home and they could be around all kinds of people and not being tested 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Would you rather that? Do you think that's safer for a kid? I don't know. Putting them on a field against a Troy team they've been tested three times a week. They've all been tested before they showed up on that film or on that field. So, you know, they're continuing to put in the effort to give these kids the experience that they deserve. Oh, and by the way, the other two conferences that aren't currently playing, they're coming back.
Yeah.
Everybody believes that they can come back in some type of safe capacity, and I agree with them. And I don't mind seeing the cancellations because it tells me that everybody's taking it very seriously at the college level. Maybe not so much at the professional level, but at the college level, they're taking it very seriously.
By the way, actually, it's not three, it's five football games Houston's lost this year.
What?
Yeah.
Are we 5 weeks in?
Let's see here.
Is that the original cancellations for their original schedule, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking.
Must be. Because if you look at it that way, BYU's lost, what would it be, three so far, or would it be four?
Yeah, this is pretty disappointing for Houston. Remember, they were supposed to play Baylor. That game got canceled less than 24 hours before the game was supposed to be played. Right now, they will not play a game against October 8th against Tulane. The problem is, if you're BYU, you'd love to give them a call, but they're already on the schedule.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know that who just recently announced that they're coming back to play? Was it UMass?
Yeah.
I know that UMass is heavy potential for BYU. I wonder if they can get them on the schedule, try to fill up a spot, give them another game. I'm also wondering how hesitant BYU is to travel right now. I've also got to imagine that BYU's heart is pretty broken in half. And I'm wondering if they've still got the same gusto and same drive to press forward and continue to schedule games with the potential of those games falling through.
Yeah.
I want to speak to the men out there that are continuing to work and have their hearts broke. And continuing to work and without the exact knowledge of if it's going to play or not. Now, there are a lot of men out there that every day they're having to convince themselves to get up and go to work. Because things are different and things are difficult. And, you know, that no-quit attitude will be something I will always take in my life. I always believe if there's a will, there's a way. Just keep pressing. And BYU has no other option. They've built a schedule. Keep pressing. They have other opponent potentials. Keep pressing. Schedule them. If they fall apart, keep pressing. I just think it's the will and the drive that we have as Americans. It's the only thing I know. Is just keep pressing, and so, I hope BYU continues to show that spirit.
Yeah,
and it seems like they are, Scotty.
Let's see. Houston has lost Rice, Washington State, Memphis, Baylor, and North Texas. So the Rice and Washington State games were already. Those were already games that were on the previous schedule that they lost. But Memphis, Baylor, and North Texas, those three games have been lost because of positive COVID tests.
Well, Houston, I'm sure Houston is getting extremely frustrated. I do hope that they can get it together because that is one of the games that I've circled, one of the few games that I've circled on BYU's schedule that has somewhat interest, you know, attached to it.
Yep.
I am able to engage myself in film study only because it's the only option we've got, Scotty. But if Utah was playing a Pac-12 schedule, it would be really hard to place focus on a BYU-Troy game. It'd be really hard to place focus on a BYU-North Alabama game. But that's what we have in front of us. That's what we currently have in front of us. And again, I do think BYU fans deserve the breakdown. And I've got to emphasize this. I believe that this is a really good BYU team. And I think that this BYU team deserves credit and attention. I think it's a good BYU team, man. Now, that schedule that they originally had, I still think there's a minimum of four losses on that schedule for this BYU team.
Oh, yeah, if not more.
Yeah, a minimum of four losses. Because that schedule was just so daunting and so difficult and so many miles traveled and so much push and emotion out of the gates with your rival. And there would have been so much involved in it. But, you know, let's say that was a four-loss season for that BYU team with that schedule that was originally scheduled. That's still potentially a top 25 ranked team.
Yeah, you go 8-4 with that schedule.
Yeah.
And those were four losses to Power 5 teams.
Yep.
Yeah, you could absolutely be a top 25 team.
You might finish in that top 25 area. And BYU, obviously, in that top 25 area, and everybody makes fun of it, but why? They're a good team. That's where they're at. Let them continue to prove it against Troy. If the game goes down against La Tech, let them continue to prove it. And if it is a top 25 team, they'll continue to prove it with 47-10 outcomes. They'll continue to prove it with putting 50 points on the board and limiting a team to 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever. They're gonna continue to put the pressure on. I tend to believe that this is a really good team. And I think Troy's maybe a class C-minus test for him.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Class C-minus test?
Yeah. Maybe C.
Maybe C. Maybe C. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to take anything away from them, but there's no reason to sit here and bang on BYU when they're doing everything they possibly can.
Well, yeah. And that, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about before. It's just like, you know, there's easy. I'm not gonna rough up anybody for trying. And when people out there tried and felt like they could go, and now we've seen a lot of college football teams announce that they can go, and the people that were sitting there pointing the finger are now like, oh, maybe we can play football now. And that's why the Big Ten made their announcement. That's why the Pac-12 is going to make their announcement someday. And that's why I think the Mountain West will probably make an announcement before the end of the week.
Yeah, and I think you know, we've still got a really nice sample size of college games that have gone on and been somewhat entertaining. And we haven't, now we engage into SEC games and start into Big 12 games and ACC, and college football is going to kick up some interest.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Hasn't generated a lot. This weekend gets a little bit more interesting for me. But until I see a suitable opponent for Clemson or Alabama, it's going to be a difficult week. I want to see some of the best challenged. It's coming.
And I think we'll get there. All right. 1 o'clock straight up. Hans and Scotty, take a break, come back, and get you ready for a conversation with Will Snowden straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.